And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms and restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to Is This Good? The show where we boldly, conclusively, and scientifically decide what things in this big wide world are good. My name's Matt, and with me are three amazing panelists from No Dunks: Trey Kirby, Lee Ellis, and Jason Doyle. Welcome to Is This Good?
Ayo. I don't know if we're supposed to go through our normal introductions here. I'm not sure if I'm supposed to ignore the fact that Lee is actually right here to my right, and we're all in the same room here together. But I'm very happy to be talking to you, Matt. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, JD, go to the camera that shows I'm just in the same room as you, just to the left.
There he is.
There he is. wasn't even thinking of that. So just a reminder, if you have topics for a future show, please share them on Twitter, @StartersMatt, or email us as isthisgoodpod@gmail.com. isthisgoodpod@gmail.com. Once again, guys, the premise of the show is very simple. I'm going to give you a topic, and you tell me if it's good. And stream team, play along today because we'll have a poll for each question up. And we're four panelists today, so you could break a tie for the first time in Is This Good history. And
that's exciting.
Also for the first time in Is This Good history, we have some follow-up, which I didn't expect to be doing. So last week, if you remember, we discussed whether wearing flip-flops to a non-beach restaurant was good. And that led us to figuring which places or events wearing flip-flops was acceptable. And 2 days later, Matt Berman sent us this gem on Twitter. What you're looking at now is, if you're not watching on YouTube, Republican Senator Richard Burr of North Carolina walking into the U.S. Capitol wearing a jacket, shorts, and flip-flops. Now, the important thing is obviously that Burr was rushing in to vote no on a $35 insulin cap for private insurance companies. But for our purposes and the freaks at WikiFeet, let's focus on those footsies. Okay.
His left big toe is like pointing at the camera. As if to say, notice me. Notice me down here. I don't think you should ever wear flip-flops in the halls of the Capitol, personally. It's a respect thing.
No.
Okay, Trey, we know where you stand. Lee, you were the most pro flip-flop. What do you think of this look? Would you wear flip-flops to the U.S. Capitol if you were a senator?
No, I wouldn't. No. Not if I'm going there to conduct business anyway. I mean, if it's a Sunday afternoon and no one's around, I'm taking the family. Perhaps, but no, not
just
when
like a cool Capitol hang with the fam.
Yeah.
Let's go legislate together.
Look, this is a great photo. I'm a little surprised we didn't get a Photoshop of JD as Fred Flintstone because he drives around without any shoes on. Sergio, where are you, man? I thought you would have been right on top of that.
Yeah, where are our meme accounts? Yeah. We need one for Is This Good.
Yeah.
What's the Australian like equivalent of the U.S. Capitol?
Parliament House. Yeah,
Parliament House. Okay, yeah. It's hotter there. Would you wear one if you were?
Well, I went there on a school trip. We went up there.
Here's a picture.
Flip-flop? No. Flip-flops weren't encouraged, actually. So it was also August. So you know what? It was almost 30 years, probably to the day, because it was August 1992. I was in year 11. We went up there, and August in Australia, generally in Melbourne, is quite cold as well. So you're not wearing.
Don't
flippies.
Wear flip-flops. No, you'll embarrass us.
No. Thongs, as we like to call them, as well, of course.
All right, well, here we go. Once again, very simple. I'm going to give you a topic. You tell me if it's good. Our first topic was submitted by listener Nora Artinian. Wow, Nora Artinian. You guys know her.
Good guess.
Wife of one Jay Skeets, future No Breaks guest. Okay, so here we go. First topic, staying with friends while traveling instead of a hotel or an Airbnb. Is this good?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Why wouldn't you do that? I mean, for me, especially with a family of four, I usually budget around $300 a night where I'm staying away. If I can stay in someone's house for 10 nights of a trip, more, or, you know, not
necessarily... 10 nights? Okay. 10 nights?
10 nights of a trip, not necessarily in the same house, then I think you're saving big bucks. Okay. So I often try to incorporate a stay at somebody's house. Now, you take them out for dinner, you maybe leave a house, like a little gift behind or something like that, a couple of bottles of wine or something like that. So you're paying something. But I think absolutely, when you're traveling, accommodation is one of the expenses you can almost never avoid in some part. So if you can get a couple of nights at someone else's house and they're welcome and they're like, yeah, come and stay with us, take them up on it for sure. For sure.
Okay, let's take good cost for saving out of
money.
This,
it's good for saving money, but what an imposition. 10 days? 10 nights? That's crazy. With a family of four?
again, like in one.
Don't forget, he travels for 3 months at a time. Yeah, so it's, absolutely. It's 10 days out of the 3 months.
Oh, okay.
Listen, if you've got kids and they've got kids, it's perfect as well. Because then the kids can be playing with each other.
Sure.
They're having a great time. They love it. You love it. And again, when you got
what
that,
about your hosts? Do they love us?
I'm not going to say to someone, "Hey, we're staying with you for this long." But most of the time, when you're going somewhere, people are like, "Oh, you must come and stay with us." So I don't know why you would turn that down.
Do they mean it sincerely though? And as we continue, I want to take cost out of it because that's the least interesting part. We know you're going to save money by staying at someone's house, but I want to know: is it good? Do you like it? Do you like being in someone else's space? Do you like living by their rules, their schedules, their whims? Do you like creeping around in the morning because maybe they're not up? Do you like it when you're trying to sleep and maybe someone's baby's crying? Maybe someone's leaving early for work and slamming the door. You hear that garage door going up. These are the things I want to examine.
Yeah. I mean, again, we're like having always traveling with my kids. I'm like, it's never going to be. You never can be like, well, hang on, our kids are sleeping. Go easy in the morning. You're like, you're living by their rules. So if someone gets up early, you're not going to say, can you keep it down? You're going to be like, that's
fine.
Yeah,
but this is a vacation. This is a vacation. This is we're getting to the crux of it, though. Do you feel relaxed and vacated when you're staying in someone else's space?
Well, listen, my house is always open to people, and I genuinely and sincerely mean, I say, come and stay with us. I'm never going to then come here and say, now, listen, these are the rules. You must do this. You must follow these instructions. You must be home at this time. You come and you stay at my house. You're welcome. Come and go as you please. Because we have the ability to be able to have them in a room as well. You're not having people come and stay in your bedroom, you know, or like
we assumed that was assumed.
But I'm saying now as a family, as when you're younger in your 20s and stuff, like you'd stay wherever there's a couch, you know,
100%.
That's right. Yeah, I've stayed on the floor before.
Lee, I think you're hitting on a key point. This is what I came to, is that the people that are the least put upon when people stay with them are the people that are most okay staying in someone else's house when they go on vacation. So for me, I'm somewhat put upon when someone stays at my house, especially because I live in a small apartment. So therefore, I think I'm less inclined to stay at someone else's house because I just assume that they're going to feel put out. But I understand this is not always the case. Some people would love you to come stay at their house.
Oh, they do. I mean, again, people welcome. When you say you're going somewhere, people are like, come and stay with us. Mm. And then you in your head, you're like, have they got the place I know I can feel comfortable?
Yeah.
Or are they going to be like, all right, you're going to have to squeeze a few bed in here or someone in there, someone staying in the kitchen or the living room or something like that. Is that comfortable for a couple of nights? And I'm like, yep, we can do it. Boom, done. Or we can be like, not sure. Not sure they've got the room for all of us.
Yeah, I mean, space is obviously a huge concern, as is level and longevity of friendship, I would say.
Right, yes.
If you're a 2+ decades, I think, how about this? For every decade you've been friends, you can stay one night at a person's house.
So if you've been
friends for 20 years, you can stay 2 nights at their house. No problem.
Lee's been friends with people for 100 years.
Yeah, no, I disagree with Trey on that. I think you can get more. I think you can squeeze more than one night out of it. I think you can do a 5-night stay.
A 5-nighter.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
God, with 2 kids, that's a lot.
Well, again,
It all depends on the amenities. By amenities, I mean, does the other people you're staying with have kids too? Because if they do, you're like, cool, you get to be buddies for 5 straight days.
For example, now, I mean, I don't know if this changes anything, friends, family, but like, for example, we stayed with my family down in Tasmania. They've got 3 kids, only 1 bathroom, but a massive farm they live on with animals and all sorts of
activities. I don't think family doesn't count. Yeah. Family's different, I think.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I'm just saying more the amenities then. We had 9 people sharing 1 bathroom, but it was like, they were like, you are not staying in a hotel if you come down to Tasmania. I'm like, fine, you know. And again, so you make it work. And the kids, that's the thing. First thing in the morning, new toys, new activities. They're not sleeping in. They're up until up as soon as they can, playing away, going crazy in the living room. So
that's the nice thing about having another set of kids stay at your house is like all of your toys get a new life because the kids pull out something your kids are never interested in, and it brings it back.
Yeah.
So that's nice. Family staying with family. I'm also 100% in on that, as long as you got the space for it as well, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, JD, where are you on this one?
I'm 100% out.
Okay.
Not good. Because, first of all, if somebody is insisting that they stay, I never believe them. 100% of the time, I'm like, you're not, you don't want me there. You think you want me there until my first dump or, you know, you never know what you're infringing on. You know what I'm saying? Like, people in their own homes, they have their habits and they're like, oh, I can't believe he went from, you know, the bedroom to the bathroom in his underwear in the middle of the night. Can you believe that he did that? Like that kind of thing. And I would absolutely do that. I'm always conscious of stepping on people's toes. And if we're taking money out of it, like I get that, yes, it's a huge savings, but let's pretend that the money is no object, then 100% of the time I'm staying in a hotel or elsewhere in my own space because I just can't handle it. I can't handle the stress of being in somebody's space, you know?
But do you invite people to come and stay with you?
What's that?
Do you invite?
Oh, absolutely. And of course, everyone is always welcome at my house. But I don't care. Like, I don't, like, I am not easily offended. I'm not easily, you know, things don't bother me the way they bother other people, I think.
Cool. That was just, I don't know if you heard that. That was my grandmother FaceTiming me. She's probably asking if she could stay at my house. So to wrap this up, am I clear that we have JD and I not good and Lee and Trey good?
Correct.
Yeah, okay, well, you can throw me in a good here. You can throw me in a good. Biggest anxiety for me staying at a friend's house, though, is when to wake up in the morning. Because, like, on vacation, I don't really want to see 9 o'clock a.m., but staying at somebody's house, like, you know, they're going to work, they're getting up at 6:30. Should you be there to support them? Tell them to have a great day? Maybe you should. Nonetheless, mark me down for a – it's good.
And what's your reasoning, Matt? We never really
heard. First of all, Trey just brought up another great point. You're on vacation. The people you're staying with are not on vacation.
Right.
There's immediately an imbalance there. So it's like we're talking about the cost of a hotel or an Airbnb. What we're not talking about is the cost of your good time, the cost of your sanity, the cost of your relaxation. Okay, there are other non-fiscal considerations here. But I'm excited because we're deadlocked at 2-2. That means for the first time in Is This Good History, the stream team can vote in this poll and break this tie. I think they're going to say good, but Lee, what are they saying?
Yeah, pretty convincing. 67% of people saying good. So,
okay.
Great. I love that they love their friends and they have the confidence to impose. The imposition is a lot.
I might be overstepping my bounds here, but I'm willing to say that any member of the stream team can stay at another member at the stream team's house free of charge for as long as they want. As long as you watch No Dunks the next day in the morning.
Okay, what a community. All right, next topic. Very simple. Red Hot Chili Peppers. Are they good? And on this one, let me just say, I can be convinced on this one. I've been going back and forth all morning on this.
Ultimately, I'm going big time good here. You know, I was doing a little mise en place today, chopping my vegetables, just bumping the Red Hot Chili Peppers Essentials playlist on Apple, and at least 10 bangers, 10 that I'm like running back, happy to hear, through multiple eras. You've got, you know, the early era of John Frusciante after he replaced Hillel Slovak. You've got the Dave Navarro era that surprisingly has great songs. You've got the next John Frusciante era. They're maybe even a little underrated at this point. They're almost the 80s and 90s version of the Rolling Stones where you're like, wow, they're still around making music together. Somehow they have a cool lead singer who's not the coolest guy in their band. Also like the Rolling Stones. I think that gives them extra points. The lyrics are literally insane. You just make up some nonsense words and say a few states and you've written yourself a Red Hot Chili Peppers song. But I like it. I'm definitely a good guy here.
K, Can you be underrated if you I'm just guessing here, can't name a song from their last three studio albums?
Because I mean, who cares about the later albums in a band's career? You know?
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, so
that's true.
That to me
I
is like, who cares? A lot of bands keep making music that nobody wants to hear, but you go to a Red Hot Chili Peppers concert, you're going to hear one song, maybe two, that they're working on, and then a lot that you love. Mm. So I don't really care about that kind of stuff.
I mean, Lee, you're obviously the authority on all things music. I couldn't even get that out with a straight face.
Yeah. Good. Right, no, I've got them down as good. I mean, Can't Stop is my favorite song of theirs. Probably top 25 all time for me.
I'm sorry. What?
What?
Probably top 25.
Can't of all time.
Probably.
Of
probably.
Every
can't
song.
Stop.
Probably in
can't
my
stop
probably
addicted
top 25.
To the shindig?
Yeah.
That's the
yeah.
song we're talking about?
It's just great. It's just it's a great way. I saw him in Hyde Park in London 2004, and that's a brilliant song to start with because it gets a crowd going. You know, it's got the lead in. And then it just hits you with a ba-ba-na-na-na like that. It's a great song. And
you just said, I'm in the money.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to say, how do you know when it started? About bang.
You just know.
How did you know it was that song and not any of their other songs?
Well, yeah. I've got them in the good. But I said when I saw them in Hyde Park, I actually didn't think their music was great, but I didn't think their crowd involvement interaction was all that good. So they lose points for that. But you've got to respect them. They've been around forever. Trey's met Flea. I've met Anthony Kiedis. Anthony Kiedis snubbed me.
Wait, did you meet him or not?
Yeah, I remember it was at the basketball finals. I had to get a photo with a celebrity.
Yes.
And I said to him, that's I need good. A photo with a celebrity. And he said, I'm not your man.
I'm not your man.
Yeah. And he walked off. So
that's kind of cool.
Sorry, can't stop.
Well, exactly. Yeah. And he lived up to that reputation, not being involved with the fans. So, you know, I thought I sort of respected the fact that he kept it going outside of the concert. So, yeah, good. But, I mean, for me, you know, middle of the road in terms of favorite musical performances. Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Okay. So we got two goods, JD.
Yeah. I'm like you, I could be convinced either way. I loved the Red Hot Chili Peppers from 85 to 93-ish. Blood Sugar Sex Magik is one of my, now that is an album that's in my top 25.
There we go.
The entire album is awesome. And there's a great music documentary called Funky Monks about the making of it. And I watched like 10 minutes of it last night just to see if it was as good as I thought it was. It was even better. Like, it's insane. These guys were kids, just horny kids making lightning in a bottle in Harry Houdini's old house. That's real. They all lived in it except for Chad. He was too scared, apparently, because he thought it was hosted or haunted. Anyways, it's a great doc. It's a great album. One of my favorite of all time. Can't Stop. Around here, my kids are just getting into the music stuff. They're in bands and stuff. Jackson's now learning the bass. Can't Stop is dunked on constantly around here as one of the worst songs ever. Like, they roast it, and they're 14 and 16. And I have to agree with them. Like, and as you say, who cares about their later stuff, right? I mean, honestly, but there is a stunning lack of growth after Blood Sugar Sex Magik.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Totally like, disagree. Totally disagree. They sound totally different when John Frusciante comes back to the band.
What are you talking about?
Anthony Kiedis, like, starts singing, and there's way more melodic music and way less, you know, funk-geared stuff,
right.
I would say.
I mean, let's talk about Anthony Kiedis' singing. Who, for that first 15 years of the band, he was barely in tune. On Blood Sugar Sex Magik, he's barely in tune. He can't carry a tune. Okay, so maybe his vocal range has improved. I assume he had lessons. But that's besides the point. Matt, you said, like, I cannot think of I can't name a single Red Hot Chili Peppers song in the last three albums. And, you know, but again, who cares? Ultimately, all this to say, I am definitely falling on the good side. I'm good. They're good. You cannot deny that they're good. But you got my dander up by saying, can't stop top 25
songs
of all
time.
JD,
it's okay if it's not in your
top
25.
Is Levon on that list? Is Levon on the top 25?
No, it's not.
Well, then you don't know what you're talking about.
Okay, but your opinion doesn't have to equal mine, okay?
You're right.
So I have it in my top 25. You don't have to. That's fine, okay? We can move on from it, okay?
All right.
I don't actually agree with a lot of 14-year-olds either in their musical taste. I'm 46. We're probably not going to have the same sort of alignment, just so it's out there, okay?
Okay, that sounds like this guy really likes the Red Hot Chili Peppers. I mean, all I could think of is Danny California. And I mean, obviously they have worse songs, but for a song that's a hit, it's awful. And there's this guy, Pat Finnerty, that has a YouTube channel where he goes through why certain songs are bad. And so first of all, I think most people know that Danny California is just a straight ripoff of Mary Jane's Last Dance, like same chord progression. And one thing he pointed out that I never had thought of is, so he's, Kiedis knows he's stealing Mary Jane's Last Dance. Mary Jane's Last Dance starts, she grew up in an Indiana town. Kiedis starts, okay, he's like, well, I want to say where Danny California was born, but I can't say she grew up. So he says, getting born in the state of Mississippi. Not a phrase that anyone uses.
Getting born.
Now, at the same time, I agree. Blood Sugar Sex Magic is a classic. I think it's 91.
I think it's 91.
Okay, so I'm
what
like
did you
10
say?
Years.
92. I thought it was 92. Because yeah,
91 per wiki. I mean,
maybe
okay,
in
so
Australia.
So whatever. I'm like around 10. Yeah. Under the Bridge, I'm just like obsessed with.
Early
and I love
MTV
the more
classic.
Ballady stuff like Breaking the Girl.
Yeah, classic.
On that album. So.
Suck my kisses off that one too. Is
yep.
it your mouth? Yeah.
Suck my what?
Suck my kiss.
It is.
It is. I
don't know. I can't stop thinking about things like Danny California, though. Things like Around the World, where he goes, I know for sure. Ding, 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 dong, ding,
oh
ding.
Yeah, there's a lot of nonsense lyrics, but Soul the Squeeze has some great nonsense lyrics in it, and it's one of their best songs.
That's true.
Yeah,
that's
what you have to take with a grain of salt with regards to the Red Hot Chili Peppers. There are just going to be times when Anthony Kiedis has the melody and doesn't have the words, and he's like, I ain't writing the words. I'm just making noises for this part. Sometimes it works, and sometimes it sounds ridiculous.
I sort of think they did that for their Simpsons cameo, where he was just like, just saying sounds,
yeah.
not really words.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting. That's how good Blood Sugar Sex Magic is, because Soul to Squeeze is an outtake, right?
Yeah.
It's on the Coneheads soundtrack, I think.
Wow. Crazy.
Before we... So I'm going to go not good just to zag on this. We got three goods.
Yeah, fair
before
enough.
We check out the poll, JD, weirdly, I feel like I know the answer to this. Have you ever put your penis in a sock?
Actually, well, I don't think I have.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I feel like when you were in Greece, that's one of the hijinks might have gotten up to.
I put it in many things in Greece. Never a sock.
You put your penis in your own butt cheeks. I've seen that picture.
I absolutely have. Many, many times. Many times.
Dick in a sock? Anyone else?
Of course, man.
Yeah,
of course.
Yeah,
come on.
Yeah.
Okay.
But, for many reasons. Sometimes for style and jokes, you know?
Okay.
I've got a soul to squeeze.
Yeah. All right, Lee, what are the people saying? Yeah. I think they're going to say good.
74%, 75, just went up to 75%
wow.
there, yeah. So not a surprise. Only okay. 84 votes, but yeah. I mean, most people know the Peppers, have one or two of their favorite songs, but I wouldn't think many people would have them as their number one favorite band, though. I wouldn't
okay,
think.
Well, three quarters of the stream team can suck my kiss. Oh, also, just before we move on to the next topic, I should say Skeets and... your buddy Grish were at a Red Hot Chili Peppers concert last night in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. So I believe Skeets is coming on next week. He can give us a little rejoinder about the concert. But for now, we're going to move on to our next topic. Oh, there they are.
You know what is
so
good
happy.
Is the guy behind Grish's head here wearing a hat that says mm-hmm. Red Hot Chili Peppers, but it's made like a 1990s yeah. sports hat. That was an instant zoom for me. So that hat is good. As
okay, sub question. Wearing the band t-shirt to the
there's
of
a lot
the
of it in this one
to.
There's yeah. a lot in this photo, no yeah. doubt about it.
All right, so if you're not watching, my buddy Grish is wearing a Red Hot Chili Peppers, it's a new t-shirt, by the way, that's their newish logo, to the Red Hot Chili Peppers concert, which is I guess I'm okay with that. Some people are not.
I'm fine with it.
Yeah, I am too. Yeah. I mean, why not?
Got to represent. It's like the it's like the home team, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Play well.
Got to support the team. All right. Next topic. This one's a little complicated. Calling chefs chef when you don't work for them, is this good? I'm going to start off with this one because maybe you're confused about what I'm saying. Here's what I'm not saying. Obviously, like the TV show The Bear is quite popular now. Everyone's calling each other chef, chef, and that. But they're working together in the kitchen, the old school French brigade system. I don't have a problem with that. What I'm talking about is how suddenly we are all calling chefs chef. So it's like if you hear a chef interviewed on a podcast, it's like, oh, chef this, chef that. When, like, you know, let's say David Chang hosts something on Instagram, all the comments are like, chef, chef, how long were you basting that? Chef, when I put this in the microwave, how do I do it, chef? I don't think there's too many professions where we're calling the person the name of the profession. Like, I'll just continue here and say I thought about it for 5 minutes. Here's some professions where we call the person the name of the profession. Chef, coach.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Coach for sure.
Colonel.
Yep.
Love your chicken, Colonel. I don't know any colonels.
Colonel?
You don't know any.
You're just out and about.
Yeah. Hey, Colonel.
Hey, Colonel. What was your thoughts on flanking the battalion?
Somehow I was also realizing you call colonels colonel more than you call generals general. I feel it's weird to be like a general, you know, where's the tau? But it's more likely you see a colonel, you're just like, colonel? I don't know. That's just a theory I'm working on. Okay, doctor? You call doctors doctor.
Oh, yeah.
You don't call a nurse nurse when you're seeing a nurse out and about. You don't call a pharmacist a pharmacist. They all have degrees. They all went to school. A priest, I think you're calling a father. You're saying a father. Yeah. You know, if the priest comes over to your house for dinner, you're saying, father, can you pass me the potatoes? Professor, I'm sort of on the border with this one.
I think you do. Professor is something you would say somebody in the wild. You would say, oh, Professor Kislenko, it's nice to see you again.
Oh, Professor Kislenko, yes. But if Professor Kislenko came to your house for dinner, would you say, Professor, could you pass the salt?
No, I'd be, welcome, Arne. You can stay for as long as you like. 4 days, 5 days.
Okay, well, I just named six professions. But you know which professions we don't call by the profession? I would say it's literally every other one.
Right.
Architects, engineers. You don't call a cobbler cobby.
What about, like, referees? Or umpires, you call them, come on, blue. Call them blue. Call them stripes. Yeah. More of an insult. But yeah. When it comes up, profession-based insult. I think people just like jargon, you know? Mm. So that's why we like to call chefs chef. We like to call each other chef. Like if you're in a kitchen, just your kitchen, and somebody else is there cooking with you, call that person chef. Maybe we should have more professions where we're using the name of the profession. Because I knew you were going to be down on this one. Because I knew your thoughts on calling Kevin McHale coach when he was walking around the NBA TV office. Like, he was never our coach,
yeah.
But he was a coach, right. You know? So it's just fun to say, 'cause it feels like you're part of the crew.
Yeah.
Anyone else? So you're good on it. Anyone else?
Yeah, I mean, I just trying to think of anyone I know from those professions. I would call coach to, like, my kids' coaches. I would say, hey, coach. But partly because I don't always know their names. I would never just call the doctor his name. Hey, I would never just say, hey, doctor. I would say Dr. So-and-so. If I knew him, I wouldn't just call him doctor. I'm trying to think if I called anyone coach around the NBA TV off. Because I know Shaq used to call Isaiah Thomas coach, which was kind of weird because he never coached Isaiah. That's why that's a little bit weird. But other than that, I mean, no, I'm just using... I'm using a formal name, Mr. or Mrs., if it's someone of respect, but not really the profession as such.
Right. Isn't it weird that we don't even call the president? Like, if the president's walking by, you don't just go, president. You say, Mr. President. So
Right.
If they wanted to call Mr.
That's literally
they should
the exact
have to
same.
Be called Mr. Chef.
Mr. Chef.
But should you still call the president if he's if you see Obama, is he still Mr. President or you know?
Well, he's referred to as President Obama.
Right.
Still.
Right.
Now that he's not.
Yeah.
But not just president.
No.
Mr. President.
No, because I think it's more the current president right. is president
right.
rather than, you know, President Obama.
Right.
I think.
I would just call him Barry.
Barry.
But Matt, you are fine with calling a chef if you're in their restaurant.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. I'll often say, like, how do you want this thing cooked? And I'll just say, right. as chef recommends.
Right. Right. Exactly.
I'm not happy about it, but I do say that. So, JD, you good or not good on this?
I think I'm out. I'm not good.
Okay.
It is fun to say chef, though. I think that's why people say it.
Yeah. It's really fun.
Hey, chef. You know.
And they love it. Chefs love it when they get that just like, I used to work in a restaurant. The chef loved it. He didn't want his name called. He's like, chef, just call me chef. Yeah. All right.
I mean, listen, in my experience in the restaurant industry, I mean, there's a few that are really, you know, quite nice, but there's a lot of dick chefs out there who I don't really feel like giving my respect to.
Exactly.
I mean, shout out to Chef Todd, who had us over to his restaurant in Las Vegas, and that was great. And I called him chef, but he was cooking.
Yeah,
for
he's
us.
Working though. Then yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Oh, we were literally in his kitchen.
Yeah.
I also do. You also think that because chef is. Like obviously coach, colonel, doctor, these are all English words. Chef is a French word.
Yeah.
I think that has something to do with it because chef just means chief in English. So I think that we should start calling chefs chief, which is like the most sarcastic thing you could call someone.
Hey, chief.
Hey, chief. All right, chief.
Medium rare chief.
So I'm a not good. JD's a not good. Trey sounds like a good. Lee, I didn't catch what you thought.
I mean,
you
I don't
give a shit. You couldn't give a shit. About this guy.
You wouldn't do it.
I don't know any. I want to know a colonel to know how I would address him. I would just love to salute colonel. You know, but can't say I know anyone. So I'm going to say no. I'm out. No good. Not good.
Okay, so that's three. So what do the people say?
Yeah, 65%. Not good.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Tough.
That's, I think, is that our first, that's our first not good.
I think that's right. Yes. Believe so.
Okay.
Wow.
Well, we are going to go to break, but you're going to want to stick around because when we come back, we're going to talk about something so mysterious, so mysterious. I cannot say what it is, but you're going to want to stick around.
If only starting your fitness journey was as easy as starting this podcast, that would make me so happy. The truth is, all the lift big, get big, and beach body ready in 3 weeks pressure stops most of us from even starting. And starting is what matters most. It's everything, really. It really is. Wherever you're beginning and wherever you want to be, Peloton encourages you to just start. With thousands of classes to get you moving and doing what you can, if that's a 10-minute low-impact class, they got those. And when you're ready, take it up a gear, you know, a 30-minute live DJ ride. DJ John Michael, that guy plays the hits. He always gets me going. Start with Peloton and find instructors that will keep you motivated to stay on your fitness journey. Learn the basics and build from there. Remember, doing something is everything. Get started with a Peloton bike or bike plus rental at onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. Terms apply.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
Welcome back to Is This Good? Again, if you are just listening to this as a podcast, I want you to know that there were ads there. If you just hear me throw to the break and then come right back when you're listening to the podcast, it's not my fault. There were ads there when we were recording this, which is very important for me that you know that. Okay, moving on. Our next topic, I'm excited for this. M. Night Shyamalan, the original Shams. M. Night Shyamalan, is he good? Here we go.
Well, I'll get us started, Matt, because when you talk about M. Night Shyamalan, you're really talking about twist endings. As everybody knows, the guy is famous for his twist endings. So you messaged me yesterday, said, you think you could do like a top five M. Night Shyamalan twists? So I had to go to his Wikipedia page and ensure that I've seen five M. Night Shyamalan movies. And it turns out I've seen exactly five.
Wow.
So these are
perfect.
The five, I don't know if they're the best or worst twists. I'm going to go from best twist to worst twist. Number one twist, obviously Sixth Sense.
Yeah.
An iconic twist. You know, the movie that made us remember twist endings. I don't know if it's been done as well since or before. What was like the big twist ending movie prior to Sixth Sense? Like Psycho?
Well, like for me, I found it similar to Shawshank in that you were like, where's this going? And then all of a sudden, bang, it
boom,
just hit you.
Dead.
Yeah. Is that a twist ending? I'm not sure if it counts as a twist ending in Shawshank, but it was like an iconic.
It was a great ending.
A great ending. Yeah. Brilliant ending. So,
I don't know if that's necessarily a twist ending.
No, no.
It's a big reveal.
Yeah.
Big reveal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wouldn't classify it as a twist necessarily, but.
Yeah, anyways, you know, Sixth Sense was like the movie that people actually did a great job of being like, there's a great twist at the end, but wouldn't actually tell you the twist at the end. The twist probably holds up. I don't know. It's been a while since I saw it, but watching it the first time, it's awesome.
Yes.
The second time, you're like, you get to watch it and see what you missed that would have given away the twist. After that, your mileage may vary, but obviously his best twist. The twist that put him on the M. Night map.
Trey, you know what? You just reminded me. The movie before that I think of when it's like, there's a twist at the end of this movie, but don't tell anyone, was Crying Game.
Okay, Crying Game is not bad. I see people are saying Fight Club, which was probably right before Sixth Sense. Is that right?
That was about
98 or 99.
Yeah, 99. So
right,
it was about 98, yeah.
Usual
yeah.
Suspects, people are saying that's another good twist ending as well. Memento came out a year after, also had a good twist ending. So I guess maybe we were living in
the
halcyon days of twist endings.
Yeah.
The late 90s to early 2000s. Yeah. It's all about switch-ups there at the end.
Yeah.
Number two best twist from M. Night, Unbreakable.
Mm.
Do you know the twist in Unbreakable?
I don't know that one.
Not only is Bruce Willis a superhero, Samuel L. Jackson is a supervillain who engineered all of this trauma in Bruce Willis's life to see if he was a superhero. Pretty cool stuff.
Bruce Willis and Samuel Jackson back together.
Wow, yeah. I wonder if that was the first time after Pulp Fiction, probably.
Yeah.
I think it was, actually.
Yeah.
This Unbreakable eventually kind of like spawned a universe for M. Night Shyamalan. He did Split with James McAvoy a little bit later. I'm still unsure if I've seen this movie or if I just watched Identity starring John Cusack in 2003, which is a great twist ending and I think is pretty much the exact same movie as Split. And then I think there is a Samuel L. Jackson movie as well called Glass, which I know I haven't seen.
And it brings...
Brings them all three superhero movies from M. Night, but I think Unbreakable is cool. I actually forgot that it was an M. Night Shyamalan movie until I went back and looked at this. I was like, oh, right. I liked Unbreakable.
I did too.
I don't know, but I liked it at the time. All right. This is when we get into the bad twists.
Yeah, give me the shitty twist.
Number three is a bad twist. The Village. Anybody see The Village?
I did.
Guess what? They're living in modern day. It was the most obvious twist possibly imaginable. The monsters aren't real. They're just people dressed up and they're living in a forest. Like, that was just a ridiculously obvious twist that I think was even revealed by M. Night Shyamalan in the movie. Like, doesn't he play like the toll booth worker or something? Who Bryce Dallas Howard escapes the village and finds him, but she's blind, so she can't really put it all together. Spoiler alert if you care about seeing any of these 15-year-old movies, but I'm just revealing it. But I think it's very funny that it was a dumb twist revealed by the director in the movie. Crazy stuff.
Yeah.
Number four, pretty bad twist, because I'm not sure what the twist is. Signs. I think the twist was, first off, that the aliens were real, which was a bit of a twist, because you're like, do these aliens actually exist?
Right.
But then the bigger twist was that the aliens are allergic to water. what a dumb way for these aliens to die. We're coming to a planet that is completely sustained by water. covered in water. And as it turns out, liquid water is the one thing. The one thing that can get rid of these aliens. Pretty bad twist.
Well, wasn't that gremlins? They were allergic to water. Oh, no, they multiplied. They
were. Oh, no, that made them grow. Right.
Yeah,
gremlins can handle the water. Aliens, not so much.
Well, that's War of the Worlds, the original War of the Worlds. It's not water, but it's germs.
Yeah, germs.
The environment kills them.
Well, isn't that Independence Day too? Don't they give them a cold?
Well, yeah, they do. No, yeah. Well, they hack their computer.
Yeah, they give the computer a virus.
technologically advanced society comes and invades Earth, but as it turns out, our 1996 computers can hack into their mainframes and send them back into outer space.
Yeah.
That's what I was just thinking. Does that mean that on the aliens from Independence Day planet, they have like a super famous guy that always dressed in a black turtleneck and...
They're ruled by a guy named Norton who will not let them get viruses on any of their computers. All right, so that's two bad twists, two good twists. The fifth, the worst twist, the worst movie I've ever seen in the theater.
Wow.
But one of the most fun movie watching experiences, The Happening, starring Mark Wahlberg. People are just committing suicide worldwide. Nobody can figure out why. As it turns out, trees are attacking people. We've lost too many bees to keep the toxins at bay, so the toxins influence people to commit suicide. And then they spend the night at an old lady's house, wake up the next morning, and the trees have just stopped. The trees got as far as they needed, and as it turns out, it was the property line at that woman's house. So Mark Wahlberg, you're good to go from here on out. The dumbest twist, because it was basically no twist, and then the twist got twisted into nothingness just 10 minutes later. But like I said, an awesome movie to watch, because this looked like it was going to be a disaster of a movie, and everybody that was in the theater with me, it was a sold-out theater.
Really?
Seemed to be thinking the same thing, like, this is going to be terrible. Let's just go and watch it and laugh, and we had a great time.
Yeah. What era was this like?
This is probably 08-ish.
Right, yeah. Let's see. Still living 08. A bit off the Sixth Sense by then, where you're like, you'll go and watch him.
That was the end for me. So Sixth Sense, 99, Unbreakable, 2000, Signs, 2002, 2004, The Village. I was a big M. Night head at this point, apparently. Lady in the Water dropped. No thank you. No thank you on that one. But I had to see The Happening. It was as bad as imagined. And after that, I haven't been able to take myself to see another M. Night Shyamalan movie.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's a bit like
Are you
Guy
good
Ritchie.
Or not good based on that? I can't tell.
I'm not good. I'm not good on this.
Oh, interesting. But you're good on the Red Hot Chili Peppers, who have been garbage for the last 12 to 15 years. Wow.
You make a good point. You do make a good point.
Right. I see where we're
at. I don't know. I feel like there's more of an impetus to make good content as a video maker, as a movie maker, than there is for a musician.
Oh, 100%.
As 100%. Time goes on.
As Lee said... I mean, not to circle back to the Chili Peppers, but all they have to do is show up, play one of their new songs, and then they're playing all the hits from way back when. Yeah. M. Night doesn't have that that luxury. He has to come up with... And he's the twist guy. That's a lot of pressure. That's a lot of pressure.
But that's the thing. When you start off with... I know it wasn't his first one, The Sixth Sense, but that was the one that put him on the map.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to replicate that is tough. The standard is so high, you know? To maintain that level, people, like you're saying, people go to the cinema to see, well, I hope I have the same Sixth Sense. Yeah. And then you got trees.
But trees was later. I mean, Unbreakable was a good movie. Yeah. I enjoyed Unbreakable. I enjoyed The Village until the twist. I mean, I thought it was very well crafted. I was on the edge of my seat. I kind of look at his movies like a Norm Macdonald joke. The punchline, who cares? Like, it's the journey to get there. You're laughing all the way to the punchline. And it's like, oh, okay, wah, wah. But I'm saying he's good. M. Night Shyamalan. I'm Team Shyamalan. And he was the executive producer on Wayward Pines, which was I think they had 20 episodes or something. And there's a big twist in that that's revealed 5 episodes in. Which was a mistake, probably. Too early. But it was decent, though. Those 5 episodes leading up to the twist, I was all in on it. And sure, there's been some stinkers, but who hasn't had some stinkers? So I'm going to say he's good.
You're pulling me back to the side. I'm thinking about seeing Split. I'm thinking about seeing Glass. Matt, you said, did I see Old? No, but the previews were interesting.
Yeah. Okay. Like, honestly, like The Happening, I watched that and I was furious with him. And I've never went to see another one of his movies. I've not seen Split. Yeah. I've not seen Glass. And I liked Unbreakable. I just haven't brought myself to come around and see it. But I think Split is quite well reviewed, actually. I don't know what our Rotten Tomatoes says, but who cares? I bet it's not bad. So,
JD, it's funny that it's interesting that you mention like a Norm Macdonald joke you're laughing all the way through, because I watched Old last night and I was laughing all the way through. This movie is so bad and so dumb. I mean, there's a six-year-old, you know the premise, they go to a beach where they get old, they age very rapidly. Right. There's like a six-year-old girl and then she ages like to, I don't know, doubles or whatever. And then she has sex with another boy that's there because now they're horny. Yeah. And then she's like, 2 minutes later, she's pregnant. She's like, oh, my belly, what's happening? <It's> like, okay, but there is a rapper in the movie, like not a real, like a, someone's playing a rapper in the movie. Right. He's already on the beach. It makes no sense. But I just want to ask you, I know none of you have seen this movie, so I know you're not going to know the answers. What is the name of the rapper in this movie? And I'll just tell you, it's the most insane name. The name of the rapper in this movie is Mid-Sized Sedan. And his hit single is More Dough for the Cookin'.
Wow. So, okay, I don't mind the song name. I don't mind.
Night Shyamalan is good. If he can come up with that,
it's like a placeholder Red Hot Chili Peppers lyric, right?
Totally.
Sweet bandana, mid-size sedana. okay, so I'm a definite not good. I mean, like when I started doing 5 minutes of research on him, I found that this guy's fascinating. First of all, he ghost wrote She's All That. Did you know
yeah,
that?
Yeah, I did not know that.
He did. Well, he said I ghost wrote She's All That, and then apparently the screenwriter of She's All That tweeted, "Oh, only in his head." Uh-huh. But of his 12 movies, I think he had one movie before The Sixth Sense, but from Sixth Sense on, I think it's 12 movies. Seven of the 12 movies are below 50% on Rotten Tomatoes. Three of them are below 20%. Mm. And After Earth is 12%, and The Last Airbender is 5%. Yeah. I mean, that's almost impressive. But I mean, obviously these movies are making money, because otherwise, certainly they're not critical darlings. I'm a not good. Lee, I'm assuming you're a not good.
Yeah, I am, just because I don't have a huge catalog of his films. I've seen, obviously, The Sixth Sense. Usual Suspects, that was him too?
No.
Nah.
No,
people are saying that in here.
They're talking about Twist.
So, yeah, I'm saying not good. You want the people's vote here? You want the poll?
Give it to me.
It's 53% not good. Wow. So there are some fans out there.
53%, the score of every movie of his on Rotten Tomatoes.
Just dropped to 52. So,
By the time we get to the end of the movie, the end of the podcast, it's going to completely switch.
Look, I think he's had the most votes, though, so far. So one of those ones who gets the people out there voting.
Wow. Yeah.
Gets people talking, just like gets people going to see his movies.
Yeah.
All right, this last one, let's just do rapid fire because it was on the docket last week. Let's just burn this topic. Online grocery shopping, is this good? Rapid fire, tell me, do you like the convenience or are you a guy that needs to touch the produce?
Oh, I forgot how you don't like people eating fruits and vegetables around you. Is that still true, Matt?
I don't like open fruit.
So if someone was to eat a raw carrot in front of you, would you be offended by that? Or is it more the juice of like the pear and an apple?
No, you know the answer to this. You would sit next to me in the office and slurp a pear. Like,
I mean,
you know.
You did make him extra sloppy.
Well, for Matt, I did. Once I realized that he didn't like them. But a Bartlett pear, you know, the right ripeness tends to be a little bit juicy. You need to sort of bite and slurp as you're doing it. But I never encroached in your space. I never was like, okay, I'm going to just go and slop this around you and spill it all over you. I mean, I kept it to myself. It's just I enjoy a good pear. Who doesn't love a good pear?
It just felt to me like you were doing weird foreplay to me, and it was just like you're eating ice cream on a hot day, and you're licking your wrist.
Never.
Save that for Roxy. Save it for Roxy.
Oh no, never in bed. It's too sloppy. Too much spillage of a pear.
Okay, well, you didn't understand what I was saying. Moving on. All right, Lee. Touch the produce or your convenience.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's it. When it comes down to it, it's the fresh fruit and vegetables, because you do get to look and pick, and you know, if you see something with a big bruise on it, you're obviously gonna leave that on the shelf there if you're shopping yourself. But when people do the shopping for you, I think they just it's the getting it out as quick as they can, getting it to your house. They don't really care about the sort of condition the bananas are in, or the pears, or the apples, or whatever. They're just getting them to you. So I have to say, during COVID though, I mean, during lockdown, there was no real option. I mean, you had to do it, so you had to sort of just accept the way it came, I think.
And, you 100% did not have to do it.
Well,
because
I never did it. But I mean,
look, okay, but that's interesting, Lee, because I never did it before the pandemic, and now I can't go back to grocery shopping. I'm just addicted to the convenience. Mm. And I find they do a fine job of giving me non-bruised vegetables. So I'm interested that you had the convenience and then went back to in-person shopping.
Yeah, I just like it. I just like being there to be able to select my particular fruits or vegetables. That's why. So yeah,
you're probably a creeper too. I don't know. You're probably touching those cantaloupes.
I'm not a creeper at all.
You get your fingies in the bins.
He's fondling those pears, man. He's got to weigh them out.
I don't think.
Oh yeah, he's getting two watermelons, putting them up here, and going.
No. I don't know if it's a COVID thing or not, but I look. And I'm, you know, very visual with it first. And if I pick one up, basically, and I say the same thing to the boys when I'm shopping, if you pick it up, we're taking it, because I don't want to see other people be picking it up, feeling it, and then putting it down.
How do you know how soft it is before you've picked it
up? Well, that's why the visual inspection is so important. I mean, you might as well
just get it delivered. If you pick up, you can't tell if an avocado's soft. I mean, I guess by color, but... Still, you got to touch it. That's the whole point.
You can poke it, you know, and then you're like, okay.
Oh, you can poke it, and you don't have to buy it, but as soon as it's
your elbow.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm just not molesting the fruit. I'm, you know,
you're, no, I think you are. No, I've seen the way you eat a pear. You are hundo P molesting the fruit. Okay, JD, you're not good on online grocery shopping.
To be honest, I don't think I've ever done it. Other than when Grocery Gateway first came out, like way back, like before apps, before, you know, when we would, you would select it and it would, and I thought it was more of a pain in the ass to be honest, because you would have a window of people bringing your groceries and, you know, and the produce thing is a thing for sure. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. And it's also way more expensive. Is money a factor in this scenario or no?
Yeah, you can factor. I mean, because you're paying a tip and you're paying
delivery
charge. Or some places are free delivery.
But is the actual items sometimes inflated as well on like Instacart and things like that?
No, I mean I'm good, but on this one. But my caveat is you can't use Instacart. Instacart is garbage.
Okay,
you're just sending a random person into a store that they don't know to buy your stuff. It has to be someone that is an employee of the store picking the goods.
Oh, interesting.
When we went shopping in Whole Foods in Vegas there, Matt? You were picking things out that you wanted, remember?
Well, yeah, I was there. What do you want me to do?
You trying to act like you've never been in a grocery store before?
Yeah, the one thing you didn't pick out was your wallet. You just threw it all into my cart. I paid for it all.
That's for all the sloppy pear eating. Trey, where are you on this one?
I think it's good in a pinch, you know? I think if you need a specialty ingredient, it certainly comes in handy. I've been looking for saffron for 3 straight days. Mm. Nowhere in Atlanta.
Yeah.
There's nowhere in Atlanta that has saffron, so I got to order it. But you might not be getting the best quality with regards to your produce, and there's always a chance that something's going to go wrong. Like, I saw a tweet recently of somebody ordered a 16-ounce package of feta and instead got 16 packages of feta. That kind of thing can happen where, like, you know, you don't put it in the exact sort of thing you need, which leaves the choice to be made, and maybe the wrong choice is made. Suddenly you got to go back to the store anyways. Plus, you're losing, like, the spontaneity. Sunkist Zero Sugar
For those listening, I definitely did not order this, yeah. But it was delivered to me.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah, see,
this is
a sun-kissed orange.
A 12-pack of sun-kissed zero sugar soda cans.
Wow.
Did not order.
Looks
I tasted one. It's vile.
Yeah, not good. Yeah. So that kind of thing can happen, which I think is a problem. But there are certainly times when it comes in handy, you know. There are times.
Yeah.
But I would ultimately say I'm like 5 out of 10 on this one. It's good when you need it. It's probably better to actually go to the grocery store. So mark me down for a not good, even if I'm not totally devoted to that side.
Okay, I'd also like to bring up the shame, my food shame. Like,
okay, good point.
This guy eats a lot of Cocoa Puffs, you know? Like, I don't need that, somebody out there knowing how
What about
much,
the cashier?
Yeah, I mean, you're right, but there's the cashier and the person bringing me the food, you know? Like,
or I guess you could self-check out.
Oh, if I'm buying Cocoa Puffs or something. I went to the grocery store and I bought, like, 8 things of ice cream and a thing of whipped cream and, like, Bran Buds. And that was my whole order. I definitely went through the self-checkout for that. But there was a hankering for ice cream around here, so, you know.
Cream it up.
Do you put in the correct amount of bags when you're using self-checkout? You pay for the bags?
I usually bring my own, to be honest. But,
okay, that's good.
Yeah, do we have to put bags in?
Maybe in Georgia, they're like...
I'm not sure.
I don't think I've ever had,
we always have our own, so...
Yeah.
Okay, Lee, what are the people saying?
Well, I thought when you said rapid fire, I thought we were going to get through it quicker, so I didn't put the poll up. I'll just say most people are going to say that it's good, because in a pinch when you need it...
You had one job, Lee.
Well, he said rapid fire. It's fine.
You know what? I don't care. Yeah. I'm not convinced. Well, it looks like it's going to be a not good on online grocery shopping. Okay, well, we have one more thing to do, but we're going to go to a break. But coming up, we have subjective trivia, where I'm going to channel my inner M. Night Shyamalan, because there is a twist, so stay tuned.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Welcome back to Is This Good? Before we get to subjective trivia, one error I made. I forgot to say that the M. Night Shyamalan topic was suggested by Ethan Spencer via email. And you can do that too. You can send us an email, isthisgoodpod@gmail.com or at StartersMatt on Twitter. And you can suggest your own topics and we'll do them on the show. It's crazy. All right, let's get to subjective
One more quick little thing, Matt. Oh, I put up a poll during the break. Online grocery shopping, is it good or bad? 55% not good. Not good. So it's a close one, though. Close one and a short vote.
And Lee doesn't know what he's talking about then. Lee doesn't understand the people.
It's 54. It's coming back.
Okay, let's get to subjective trivia. Okay, it's subjective trivia, which is just like regular trivia, except only I know the answer. Okay, so earlier we were talking about M. Night Shyamalan. By the way, the only good thing about M. Night Shyamalan is when you're studying to talk about him, you finally learn how to spell Shyamalan. Mm. So talking about Shyamalan had me thinking about The Sixth Sense, which got me thinking about Bruce Willis. So if I asked you, what is Bruce Willis's best movie? I'm going to assume that some of you are going to say Die Hard and some of you are going to say Pulp Fiction. So somewhere those are 1 and 2, depending how you rank them. So today's subjective trivia question is, what is Bruce Willis's third best movie.
Wow.
Now, because there's not like that many options, I'd like you guys to talk it out loud, confer, and then bring me an answer.
Okay, start naming some movies, guys.
There was one that where he was saving the Earth about 1999, 98.
Armageddon. Okay, Armageddon.
Was that it? Yeah. That was, I'm guessing that was probably one of his highest grossing ones, I think.
Okay, but we're looking for the third best.
I'm just trying to, trying to talk it out here. I'm tap dancing a little bit.
And remember, I have the answer written on this card.
Okay.
12 yeah. Monkeys.
Oh.
Good one.
That's Brad Pitt as Brad Pitt well. Is 12 yeah, Monkeys yeah, as well. Yeah. Okay. I remember liking that at the time. I don't know if it's held up as a classic. Fifth Element.
Now, is this a starring vehicle? Like, he's the leading person? Okay.
Correct. Yeah. For instance, I believe he's in The Player, but I think it's like just a cameo.
Sure.
Right.
I mean, Sixth Sense is in the mix for sure. Whole Nine Yards. Is that Chandler from Friends,
Matthew Perry.
That. He's like a hitman living next door or something like that.
Yeah.
I do remember liking that.
Sin City.
Ooh, I liked Sin City. That's a DVD I own. Oh, Bandits? Bandits was a funny movie with Billy Bob Thornton. I don't think that's up there, but it was
Billy
funny.
Bob.
Whole 10 yards. Nice. Oh, Alpha Dog?
Oh, yeah,
you
that's right.
That
he was
recently.
He was the father of the
It ain't that one.
James Hollywood guy, yeah.
Mm. The remake of The Jackal. Anybody see that? It's not going to be that.
Moonrise Kingdom, he was in. Was he in another Coen Brothers movie?
Wes Anderson?
Wes Anderson, sorry. Yeah. What? I don't know.
I will say you have not yet said Bruce Willis' third best movie.
Okay. Last Boy Scout.
Oh, Last Boy Scout was good.
Yeah.
Last Boy Scout was good. Death Wish?
Ugh, that was
That was not good. Steven Seagal?
No, Death Wish was a Quentin Tarantino movie, right?
No.
I do you need a hint? I feel
give us a hint.
Okay.
Oh,
about Fifth Element? No.
Okay, the hint is the movie hasn't been said, but it's sort of been said. Meaning
sort of been said.
Okay, so maybe it's one of the Die Hard sequels. Like Die Hard 2.
Die Hard with a Vengeance.
Matt loves an action movie. Loves one.
Okay.
He really does.
Getting warmer.
Last Man Standing. Last Boy Scout. Bonfire of the Vanities.
No, JD was really close.
Okay. So I'm going to say, let's pick a Die Hard.
Die Hard 2.
I'm going to say Die Hard 3. Die Hard with a Vengeance.
The correct answer is 1995's Die Hard with a Vengeance. That's Bruce Willis's third best movie.
Okay, so that would have been the reunion between Samuel L. Jackson and
That's why I was Bruce about Willis. To say that, but then I thought better. JD, you know what? For next week, we need a sting for when someone gets the right answer. Felt a little flat.
Yeah, okay. I got one here. Does it work?
Death, okay, so you want to say the answer again. Okay.
I'm going to say... Death Wish, not Death Wish. Die Hard 3, Die Hard with a Vengeance.
That's correct. 1995's Die Hard with a Vengeance. I can't hear it here. I'm going to assume something
appropriate.
It was good.
Yeah.
Last Boy Scout's great. These are the ones I considered. Sin City.
Yeah.
12 Monkeys. Looper, which no one mentioned.
Oh, that's a great movie.
Looper's good.
I love the riddles in Die Hard with a Vengeance. I love Jeremy Irons of rats and mice have had their chance, as will I have mine. I love the scene when Bruce Willis shoots a bunch of guys in an elevator because the security guard says to him, "Oh, you know, it's really been raining dogs and cats." And Bruce Willis was like, dogs and cats. That's not the expression. It's cats and dogs, cats and dogs. This guy's an imposter.
Ooh. Well, he did confirm it with the lottery numbers though, right?
Yeah, he's got the thing on his badge number. So that's Bruce Willis's third best movie, and that's subjective trivia. I'll say once again, if you do have topics, tweet them to me at StartersMatt. Email us at isthisgoodpod@gmail.com. I'll ask you guys, do you have anything to promote?
Podcasts. We got podcasts coming out next week. What do we got next week?
Well,
we're
no
watching
bumps.
Driven
yeah.
for no price.
Oh, right.
It would be interesting to hear, Matt, your third favorite Sylvester Stallone movie. Don't think it's going to be Driven. We got a no bunts next week, and we're hoping one of these guys gets traded so we can talk about basketball again.
Man. Going nowhere. Oh,
basketball.
Trades.
What's that?
Yeah, remember basketball?
What's the arm wrestle Sylvester
over the top?
Over the top. Over the top.
Man, making a movie out of arm wrestling. That was 1987 as well. Like,
was it?
Yeah.
Every good old days.
It's pretty good. I just listened to the 1987 movie draft over on The Ringer with Quentin Tarantino and Roger Avery are there.
Wow.
It's 2.5 hours long, and I listened to the whole thing. And right off the top,
Dirty
Quentin Dance. Tarantino, that was drafted. Quentin Tarantino is saying, it's a terrible year for movie. But then banger after banger after banger, I think it was a great year for movies. So, yeah, there you go. Over the top, not picking.
Not picked.
If M. Night Shyamalan did Over the Top, the twist, what would the twist? The twist would be, at the end of the movie, you find out it's really their legs. Not their arms. They've been leg wrestling.
Just lowers to beneath the table and their leg locked. That'd be great.
Oh, interesting, interesting. I thought it was a world in which people had arms, but the arms were legs.
That works, too. I love it.
There's a lot of different ways to play it. Guys, thanks for joining me on Is This Good? Thanks for listening. For everyone, I'm Matt Austin, and this was good. We'll see you next week.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.